You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Soundstorm.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of Catfish on Ice. This is your host, Chad Benton, with Rich Howe, joining you on this special edition, Friday evening, the Friday after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, as everyone knows. I know Rich has been out there shopping like crazy all day, haven't you?
That is incorrect.
Rich, you're not
no,
one of
sir.
Those... Rich, you're not one of those crazy people that gets out there and just starts trampling people and running over people with his shopping cart?
Absolutely not. There is no way you would catch me out shopping anytime at 5 o'clock in the morning or at night or anything. No way.
Those people are crazy, and one of those people is my mother. She gets out there and treats it like a sporting event. She gets out there at 5 in the morning today. And she goes all day. I think she takes a short break, and then she gets right back out there. She is nuts.
That's the same. My wife goes out, and she takes my daughters. They go every year. They left the house at 4:30 this morning.
Yeah, some people love the thrill of it. They love getting the deals done. They find all these great deals. More power to you, but I stay away from all that, for sure.
Yes.
All right, so day after Thanksgiving, we hope all of our listeners had a really awesome Thanksgiving. Saw a lot of really good pics all over Twitter of people sharing their meals. Some of them didn't look very appetizing, but I think it was more people trying to be funny and showing jokes out there. But for the most part, everyone seemed to say that they had a really good Thanksgiving. Got Lindsay hopping in here on YouTube. Hope you both had great Thanksgivings. You as well, Lindsay. Now, I did learn something new or something that I forgot, that Canada's Thanksgiving is actually back in October.
I remember seeing some pictures of her Thanksgiving plate, and it looked really good. So
she wins the day. That pick of her meal looked really, really good.
Yeah. Well, I saw your tweet about some other people's pictures of their food, and I agree 100% with what you said.
I think some people were just trying to be funny and do like some jokes. Like, but I saw one with like, it looked like Pepto Bismol on a plate or something. And that about made me lose my appetite. I had reached the point in the day where I was getting ready to have the best part of Thanksgiving, which is when you break open for some seconds and thirds like later in the day. And I was like, okay, I think I'm good. I think I'm going to pass on any more food for the night after seeing that one. But yeah.
I saw one where the food like was kind of melting into each other, like they weren't separated or anything, and that's no good for me.
I'm the opposite. I like to I'll mix all my food together. I'm cool with that. Oh, okay. Weird like that. All right, so yeah, great Thanksgiving for everybody. We hope you had a great one. We just got done watching the Preds beat the Devils 4-2. The final score is very misleading.
The Devils,
I should say, scored a really late garbage goal after the Preds had hit an empty netter, which just further messes up UC Soros' stats. But other than that, the Preds, for the most part, dominated this game from start to finish. The Devils tried to kind of fight back, but the Preds take care of business against a young Devils team that's rebuilding. But they haven't been a pushover by any means. The Devils they had 8 wins on the season coming into the game, so it's not like they're pushovers or anything.
Oh, they're not pushovers at all.
But it is a game that you expected the Preds to bounce back and show a really good effort in after that huge disaster that we're not going to even waste time talking about tonight against Vegas on Wednesday. That was just a train wreck. And so we're going to not even mention that game, because what else is there to say other than the Preds got their you-know-what kicked on that day. And so the Preds, this is what we've been saying for a while now. It's going to be a roller coaster. The Preds are going to be up and down all season. You never know what to expect from them. And they come out tonight and stop the bleeding from that Vegas game and beat a team that they, quite frankly, should beat.
They should have, yeah. And they did. They handled them. They looked good right out of the gate. Yeah, it was a good win. Definitely a good win.
For sure. Yeah. So we're going to really break down that game, really talk about it, kind of talk about how it went, how the game got started, who was the big top MVPs of the game. And then, of course, we've got to do another edition of our Battle for the Central Power Rankings, week six. Let's see how we rank the division now. It's a division that's so hard to really put your finger on. I mean, this is what makes these – doing these rankings are not easy from week to week, I got to tell you. And then, of course, right in the spirit of Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, we're going to list off what we're most thankful for from the Preds on this season so far. Like, what have we witnessed through – we're almost at the quarter mark of the season. So we're going to talk about what are we most thankful for so far through the first quarter of the Preds season. Me and Rich each got some answers on that, and we will wrap up the episode with that. So, Rich, give me your top takeaways from the game tonight. Who really stood out? How were the Preds able to dominate this game? What kind of was their strategy to have such a dominating game?
Well, after what happened, we already touched on it with Vegas. It was a whole different team. They came out. They were had a lot of speed. They were protecting the net well. They were passing good. It was a whole like a 180 from the Vegas game. They were looking to shoot more. They spent more time in on offense. It was just an all-around good win. Some good goals from some folks. Yossi got – Tomasino got his fourth of the year, which that's always good to see. Everybody loves that because I think – I don't know. I think everybody feels I don't know how everybody else feels, but I was getting a little – I know Tomasino's young and he needs to grow, but he was really having some struggles the past few games. So it's good to see him get a goal. That was a really good goal by him. So Johansson – played well tonight. He got two assists.
That one assist he had to Yossi to break open the scoring. That's elite level type of stuff right there. That's what you see elite top end, top line centers. That's the type of stuff you want to see from him. You wish you saw more of it from him, but that kind of stuff right there. That pass was threading the needle so perfectly to a streaking Roman Yossi. And of course, when you hit Yossi in stride like that. Maybe it's a shot that Bernier wishes he had back because Jonathan Bernier had a really strong game. He had a very commendable game, but that was a goal that you thought maybe Bernier would have stopped. But hey, Yossi, credit to Johansson though for finding Yossi and making that perfect pass. We see it happen all the time where the Preds try to get too fancy and it just gets it turns into a giveaway and it turns into a scoring chance going the other way. But that was probably the play of the night right there was Johansson finding Yossi to get the scoring off on the right foot for the Preds. What really stood out to me from this game for me from the Preds was their defense. I mean, they were in the right place at the right time. They didn't let the Devils really get any quality opportunities on Yossi Saros until later in the game. Much later in the game when the Preds were up 3-0. They kind of let the Devils sneak back into it a bit. But for the most part, I mean, look at this. The Devils only had two shots on goal going into the second period.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And they got their second shot on goal in the last 60 seconds of the first period. So for most of the first period, they had just one measly shot on goal throughout the entire period. And that you want to talk about a way to protect your goaltender. That is the number one way to protect your goaltender, especially a struggling goaltender like, unfortunately, Yossi Saros is. He is struggling a little bit right now. That's how you protect your goaltender and help him bounce back is by not making him face a high volume of shots. And so the fact that the Devils only had two shots on goal for the longest time into the second period was really a tone setter for the rest of the game.
Yeah, I agree. I really hate that they did get those last two goals because it doesn't look good that you let your guard down when you got a shutout, brewing. It's going.
Yeah.
Just you can't let your guard down at any time because, like, What if you're winning against like tomorrow night, they're playing Colorado. What if you're up against Colorado and you do that? I mean, a stronger team than the Devils. Like, you just can't do that. Like, just can't give that up.
It's a very good point, and you worried about that when the Preds got off, especially when they were up 2-0. I was like, okay, this is – they always say the most dangerous lead in hockey is the two-goal lead. Yeah. And so I kept waiting to see, all right, are the Devils going to make their response now? And then the Preds got that third goal from Granlund, I believe. And so they went up 3-0. And so they went up 3-0. And so that's kind of when you felt pretty comfortable. And then, you know, it's one of those things where the Devils didn't quit on the game, and you just got to play the full 60 minutes. But luckily the Preds already had a pretty big cushion. And then the Devils got a really late garbage goal when it was 4-1, which it makes Saros' stats look a little worse, which stinks because you really want Saros to keep building that confidence. But other than that, really strong wire-to-wire game. Roman Josi, he's up there in the top three candidates that you hear as far as early Norris Trophy winner candidate. I know you wrote a good article about that about a week ago for Friendlines. And so you still got Adam Fox up there as well for the Rangers, and you got Cal McCarr. But other than that, Yossi's right up there right now, and he further solidifies that candidacy right now with his 7th goal of the season tonight. So that was big right there. And then, really awesome to see Philip Tomasino get back on the score sheet. He could have scored at least 2 or 3 goals tonight. He was all over the ice looking for shot opportunities.
Yeah. It would have been nice. He had a really good opportunity. It would have been nice to him to get a second one. I can't remember what happened. He took a pass and just couldn't. The Bernier stopped it, but it was a really good quality shot. So it would have been good to see him get another one.
Bernier definitely kept this game mildly interesting because the Preds were threatening to run away with this and make this a 4 or 5 goal lead early in the game, to be quite honest. And Bernier kind of stood tall and did what he had to do to keep this game somewhat entertaining. But right now, you don't care how boring Preds wins are. As long as they win, we don't really care how boring it might be.
Absolutely. You're 100% correct.
And then another theme from the game, I'm really starting to see the impact in the impact of the presence of Forsberg back in the lineup.
Yeah.
When you have an offensively skilled player like Forsberg, even if he's not really getting a lot of shots on goal, he only had one shot on goal tonight. But just his presence alone forces the opposing team to have to focus more on him, which can open up more opportunities for players around him. And so it's really nice. It does seem like the Preds offense is moving a little bit more crisply, at least tonight it was. And we can't really say in the Vegas game, but again, they were going up against a great Vegas team, and it was Forsberg's first game back. But tonight I saw the Preds offense really move a lot more in sync, and I think there was a lot more open ice to make things happen. And I think Phil Forsberg's presence out there alone really makes a huge impact in that area.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Forsberg did get the 2 goals against Vegas, which he looked really good. The goals were really, really nice-looking goals. But I think – I'm hoping that now that he's back in the lineup, I know a lot of people complain about Hines moving people around. Hopefully we can get some consistent lines going.
You definitely cannot use the injury excuse anymore for this Preds team. They are at full strength, at least for now. Yep. Let's knock on some wood here because we don't know what kind of injuries might come out of tonight's game. But they are playing at full strength. They've got their full complement of players on both forwards, defensemen, and goalies. That's very rare to have your full complement of players this far into the season.
Yeah. Yeah, especially the way they play. You know, they play the tougher – style of play, lots of big hits.
At any point during the course of a season, you've usually at least got one injured player, regular player in your lineup. But right now the Preds are at full strength. They've got all of their players available to them. So now, like you said, Hines needs to really get some consistency now that and hopefully we can avoid any other injuries for a while. And this team can really start building a lot of chemistry with each other once again. Because we know what they're capable of. when they're really building that chemistry again. Yeah. I'm just looking through the stats here. Johansson had two assists on the night. Duchesne added an assist. Roman Josi had one goal and one assist. So what Josi is just 2.9, really,
yeah.
I mean, he's just marching right along as a point per game player once again this season. Carrier had 2 points after getting the empty net goal. That was one of the prettiest empty net goals you'll see.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was a nice long shot, and he right in the middle. Well, actually, it went off the post a little bit, but
plenty of style points. I love those. Plenty of style points for that one.
Those are my favorite. I love the empty net goals for some reason. When they fight so much, you know, they're like really trying really hard to get the puck, and then they clear it and it goes in. That's awesome.
Yep, and then your three stars of the game, Philip Tomasino gets the third star, UC Saros gets the second star, and Roman Josi gets the first star. Power play, Preds go 0 for 3, so that's a little bit of a sore spot. Their power play didn't look that crisp tonight, I got to say. It did not look that good. Not a lot of great opportunities.
Yeah, I really thought that they would score since they were, you know, on offense a little more tonight. So they looked a little better, like you said, you know, shooting and stuff, so – was really thinking they were going to get one, but
and then another key takeaway from this game and why the Preds were able to look so much better tonight than they did on Wednesday against Vegas, they cut down on the giveaways.
It's
been a big sore spot with this team, is they've been turning the puck over a lot. And it's been making life so much harder on UC Saros. Only 5 giveaways tonight. You can live with that. You can live with 5 giveaways, but I mean,
I think they said on the broadcast for the past 4 games, it was like 13 giveaways, 8, 11, and then 13 again against Vegas. That was it was really glaring and bad against Vegas. Yep. Like the Montreal game was really bad, but the Vegas one was like horrible. Like they gave up a shorthanded goal. Bad.
Yep, really seemed like it was a point of emphasis. So that's just awesome that they made that adjustment and looked a lot better tonight. So now let's update the standings here in the division. The Preds move into the top 3 now. Once again, they're kind of moving back and forth with swapping back and forth, but they move into a temporary third place position in the Central with 23 points. I guess for whatever reason, the Blues have the tiebreaker right now, so they're in second place with 23 points. And the Minnesota Wild, they're trying to build a little bit of a cushion. Yeah. They've got a 4-point lead. In the division with 27 points. Winnipeg has
Minnesota.
Really,
yes, that's what I was going to talk about.
Well, I was going to say Winnipeg's really, really starting to fade fast. They've looked terrible lately, and Minnesota just whooped them today.
It was like 6-2 or 7-1. I don't even remember what it was, but it was 5-0 in the middle of like the second period. So
I think this is a perfect segue into our next segment, which is our week 6 battle for the Central Power Rankings. We always do our division power rankings every Thursday, but we're recording on Friday this week due to Thanksgiving. So now that gave us an extra day to really work on these rankings. Again, this is episode 83 of Catfish and Ice with Chad Mitten and Rich Howe on this Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. Brought to you by DraftKings. Go get the promo code THPN on the DraftKings Sportsbook app when you sign up, and you can turn $1 into $100 in free site bets only at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Like I said, at sign up, use that promo code THPN and get exclusive offers with our promo code. We'll talk about DraftKings a little bit later in the episode, but go do that right now. All right, battle for the Central. Let's save everyone the suspense. And number 8 is the Coyotes.
Absolutely. I was going to say,
we can just put that on a pre-recording. And
I wrote still bad.
Just copy and paste that every week, Rich.
Just bad. Somebody said, I was watching the Rangers-Bruins game today, and they said that 77% of the time, wherever a team is at right now, that's where they'll finish their season.
Okay. Arizona's. Never heard that stat before. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was weird. I've never heard that either. Like,
I will take that and run with it right there because
that'd be awesome.
The Preds are currently in a top 3 position. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, the Coyotes, they're 4 wins, 14 losses, 2 overtime losses. At least they finally gotten a couple wins. They're negative 37 goal differential, which is by far the worst in the league. The next worst team in that department is the Canadiens at minus 29.
Oh, wow. Whew.
Yeah.
Man.
So they're just – yeah, they're bad. They're really bad. I don't think they'll – it's going to be hard for them to even get out of eighth place the rest of the year. Like,
I agree.
It's looking like a really good draft class this year, so got that.
Yeah,
got that going for you. The Blackhawks are definitely in my seventh slot.
Me too.
Got really bold, and now I can't remember if it was last week or the week before. I moved them up to number 5, thinking that they were turning a corner, and I think I was a little bit wrong on that one because the Blackhawks are now – 7 wins, 11 losses, and 2 overtime losses for 16 points. I don't think they have to worry about finishing behind the Coyotes, but they're definitely still
I agree.
7th place team.
I have them there too. They actually won today in overtime.
Wow, they beat the Blues, all right? In overtime. Did. Interesting.
But not counting today's game, they split their last 4. Won 2 and lost 2. But they got drummed by the Oilers, and then they played the Canucks, and they only beat them like 1-0. So I thought they were building some steam and trying to get some momentum, but I just don't see it
happening. Telling you right now, these next 5 positions in the division are going to be – I'm sorry, but my head is spinning on how to rank these teams.
It was tough.
This might be the hardest week we've had yet, at least for me, on how to rank these teams, because you can really make arguments – for all of them. They're all kind of clustered up right near each other.
For sure.
You've got Colorado and Dallas who've played fewer games than the other teams, yet they're still very within striking distance point-wise. So I'm having a really hard time even coming up with my 6th place team, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm still going to keep the Dallas Stars in 6th place for
me
now.
Too. Yep.
But I thought about it, and I was like, man, I was like, I really feel like moving them up, but I can't justify moving them ahead of the teams I got ahead of them right now. I just can't justify it.
So I checked. I looked today. They've won 3 of their last 4, but they lost huge to Minnesota. But they're actually shutting out Colorado right now as we speak.
Wow. So they're making a statement, like big time.
Yep.
So they're making a huge statement for sure.
I agree.
They also beat the Oilers.
Yeah.
The other night. You know what? Scratch it. Totally forgot they beat the Oilers. You know what? Scratch that. I'm putting the Jets at number 6. I was already about to do that anyway.
Yeah.
And then I totally forgot about how impressive the win was for the Stars against the Oilers the other night. They actually held Connor McDavid pointless, which is next to impossible to do.
Yeah.
So the Stars are actually starting to come around, and maybe that players-only meeting that they had a couple weeks ago or whenever that was, apparently that's doing some wonders because that team looks night and day different.
I hope so. Well, I don't hope so, but
– I was what?
Yeah, I know, right? I don't know why I said that. Scratch that. I guess it did, but they, you know, if they want to have any hope – like, I feel that this is it for them. Like, this year, if they don't do something this year, they're done. I mean, they're going to have to do
something. So, I'm going to flip-flop those 2 teams. I'm going to move the Stars up to number 5 and move the Jets back to number 6. Jets are free-falling right now. They are just – they don't look good at all.
Yeah.
They're going through their rough stretch right now, and you always hope during an 82-game season, it's better to get it out of the way early on than to go through it at the end. And it seems to me like the Jets are going through their rough patch right now.
Yep.
Which they really have no excuse to be going through these troubles, though, because their team is – their roster is very, very impressive.
Yeah. So you have them at 6?
I got Jets 6 and Stars 5.
Okay. So my number 5, you're probably not going to agree or like, but I have Nashville at number 5. Oh. I dropped them down. I'm so mad at them for that Vegas loss.
But it's Rich perspective.
I understand
here. They're going against a very viable Stanley Cup contender.
I know,
and they got exposed. Let's be honest, they got exposed.
I agree, but they also beat Anaheim, who is playing really well. They're probably playing just as good as Vegas, in my opinion.
I don't put Anaheim on that same level, though.
Not on the same level. I do agree. Anyway, they're just not consistent. They don't get up for the game like they needed to. I can accept a loss. It's fine if you play hard. They did not play hard. And I just,
well, yeah, luckily I missed a large portion of that game.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Due to day job, and I'm really glad that I did, because it looked pretty rough. And when I did catch moments of the game, I wanted to turn away really quick. Especially, I mean, I saw Forsberg score that goal, and then there was like a 30-minute like review of it, and then I'm like, what's going on here? It was just a choppy game. It just was. You're gonna have these games. Yeah. They had, you know, it's gonna happen, unfortunately. And it's going to happen against good teams. I can't penalize the Predators too much. I got the Predators at number four.
Yeah. I have.
I got them at number four.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm still in agreement with you, Rich. I would have the Predators at number three if they didn't look so bad against Vegas.
Yeah, I agree. So I put Winnipeg at number four. I dropped them down. I had them at number one, actually, last week. It's kind of weird, but.
I think maybe I did too. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. So they've had three losses and an overtime loss in their last four. So they're just sinking.
But this goes to show you the roller coaster of the NHL season, and the Central Division's going to be – you're probably going to have at least three teams all fighting for the first place in the division going into the last couple games of the season.
I agree.
Won't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Definitely. All right, so I got the Preds at number four, which means I've got the Blues at number three.
I do too. There you go. I do too.
I think the Blues are going to hang around. They really haven't done anything to make me sway them one way or the other. Although them losing to the Blackhawks is kind of a – at least the Predators are taking care of business against teams that they should beat.
Yeah, I agree. I think St. Louis is – I kind of put them up there with Nashville. They're kind of inconsistent.
Very similar teams.
Good wins, and then they'll drop a bad loss like the one today. So, yeah, they're very similar. So, yeah, I got them at number three, actually, as well. So,
all right. I am going to put the Avalanche at number two, even though they are getting beat by the Stars 3-0. The Avalanche have just slowly been making their ascent back up the top of the mountain. This is a pretty big setback here against the Stars, getting beat 3-0 right now.
Yeah, they were on a 6-game win streak, but like I think a couple of them, they played like Vancouver twice and they beat them. Some of the wins were against teams they obviously should beat, but
they've reached a plus 15 goal differential on the season. So they're one of just three teams in the entire division that has a positive goal differential right now, which is kind of surprising. Kind of a weird stat there for you for the Central Division.
If the Predators obviously don't make the playoffs, or if they get in the playoffs and get knocked out, I'm really pulling for Colorado to win the Stanley Cup this year. It would be quite the feat after the start to the season they had.
I can get behind that. I find their team pretty likable. I like their head coach. I like. I think Nathan MacKinnon is an easy superstar to cheer for.
Yep.
They're a fun team to watch. They are, and the Preds get to face them tomorrow night. So for the first time, I also came across a very interesting. Something that I just made an observation. So the Preds have played after tomorrow night. The Preds will have played every Western Conference playoff team from last year already this season.
Oh, that's weird. I saw you mention that.
Every team that made the Western Conference playoffs last year, the Preds have now played against after they played the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday night. That's through their first 21 games. That goes to show you they've had a really tough opening schedule.
Yeah, I agree.
That's not to mention the Eastern Conference teams they've played, including the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, you know, they've had a really tough opening schedule. And the fact that they're still in this position of competing at the top of the division is pretty impressive. And now they got their full strength of players back, including Forsberg. So now's the time. Now's the time to make your move right now.
Absolutely.
So it's a pretty easy, unanimous decision this week to put the Minnesota Wild at number one.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not only are they in first place in the standings by 4 points, but they also just made a huge statement today against the Winnipeg Jets. And, I mean, I've kind of, like, gone back and forth on them at times, but, I mean, what else can you say?
Until they give you a reason to not put them up there. I mean, they're sitting at the top, 4-point lead. They destroyed the Jets, which the Jets were in second, I believe, before that, or third. I don't remember. I think they were in second. I don't remember in standings, but yeah, I mean, they still look good. I mean, a 7-1 beating, that's huge.
So. They put up 7 goals against in a win against the Dallas Stars last week too. So
yeah,
they're showing that they can pile up the goals. And it also seems to be that Kaprizov is finally starting to break out of his slump. He's up to 6 goals on the season now. So
there you go.
He's starting to break out. Who would have thought that the former Pred, Ryan Hartman, would be leading this team in goals? Ryan Hartman's got 11 goals on the season.
Wow.
For the Minnesota Wild.
Who would have thought?
I missed that guy.
Rem Pitlick would have got a hat trick.
right?
Same thing, you know. That's good. I don't mind them either.
They're point leaders. You got Kaprizov's got 22 points to lead the way for them. Kevin Fiala's got 14 points this year. Another former Pred. Frederick Goudreau, another former Pred, has 9 points for him. Rem Pitlick has 8 points in very limited time. So, yeah, all those former Preds players making things happen up for Minnesota.
Nashville North.
I'll go for Nashville North at the Preds. I think I find it easier to go for the Minnesota Wild than the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, I like them too, definitely.
All right, so that's week 6 of Battle for the Central Power Rankings. Tweet at the show, at Catfish Ice on Twitter, and let us know what your top 8 power rankings would be for the Central Division. Let us know what that would be. We'll retweet it. We'll share it. We'll talk about it. Or if you're watching the stream right now, let us know right now. We'll talk about it. All right, let's get back to DraftKings. DraftKings is the official sponsor of Catfish on Ice. We can't thank DraftKings enough for sponsoring the entire Hockey Podcast Network, including our own podcast. And they've got an awesome deal for all you hockey fans out there. And that is, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Throw down $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 years or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager is required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-GAMBLER. And you can win those winnings if the goal is scored like a clapper, like a one-timer, a deflection. It doesn't matter. You win $100 in free bets if that team scores a goal. So it's an awesome deal for you. Go do it. DraftKings Sportsbook app, promo code THPN.
Goals will be scored.
All right, day after Thanksgiving, I'm reflecting on what we're thankful for is what you do this time of year. And so we are going, as the Preds are now 20 games through the season, the quarterway mark of the season already, we are going to look back at those first 20 games, and me and Rich are going to let you know what we are most thankful for after these first 20 games. I will get this thing going right now. My first one, and that is, I am thankful that Mikael Granlund came back to the Predators for another year.
That is a great one.
Because for the second offseason in a row, it looked like there was no way that Granlund was coming back. All of the local media was like, nope, he's gone. He's definitely gone. And then what was it, an hour later? Oh, no, false alarm. Granlund's coming back.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And can you imagine? Can you imagine if the Predators didn't have Mikael Granlund on this team, how much this lineup would be shaken up?
Ugh.
It wouldn't be pretty. Yeah.
No, it would not be pretty at all. I totally agree. It's good to see him playing well again. We've said it numerous times. He's really really important piece of the team at the moment.
That is definitely what I one of the things I am most thankful for is that somehow Mikael Granlund returned to the Predators. He's leading the team in assists this year with 15. And he is second on the team in points with 19 points, just 1 point behind Matt Duchene.
Mike Twitter says he's glad for that as well.
What's up, Mike Twitter? Hope you had a really good Thanksgiving, Mike Twitter. And he's saying glad for that. Assuming he's talking about Granlund there coming back. Absolutely. All right, Rich, give me your next one. And Mike Twitter, let us know what you're most thankful for, too, from the Preds so far this season. And we'll share it on the episode here.
So I guess it's a two-for-one deal, but I'm glad to see Johansson and Duchene both playing well this year. I've said it a bunch of times, and I know you've said it a bunch of times. It's just the past few seasons for both of those guys have just been, you know, they've had their moments, but just not good at all. And it's good to see them finally turning things around. And I'm really hoping that they can just continue at the pace they're at and just and even do better than they're doing right now. So.
I like that one for sure. Yeah, that's an easy one to be thankful for because they have both really responded to the pressure this year through the first 20 games. Because everyone knows, you can't keep it a secret. Everyone knew, whether they watched the media and watched all the articles written about them and all the different hot takes that people say about them, whether they watched that stuff or not, it was impossible for them to not know that there was a huge target on their backs as far as having to step up. They weren't protected they weren't protected in the expansion draft. That right there was enough for them to know.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Lindsay says she's thankful for the fans of the Preds. Lindsay, I agree with you most of the time, but I'm really upset with a large portion of the fan base tonight for booing PK Subban. I do not understand for the life of me why you would boo PK Subban. He's one of the most classy players of all time. He does so many good things off the ice, so many charities, and he's a very genuinely nice guy. The only unless fans are booing him because he's had some slew foots this year, which
that might be part of it.
But I don't get it. And really, Subban's always gotten booed all across the league. Like he is for some reason. And I really hope it's not for the ugly reason that a lot of people say. And unfortunately, there are some really bad people out there who tend to watch hockey and they boo someone because of the color of their skin. And if that's the case, those fans have no business coming anywhere near a hockey rink. And I would hope that the majority of the fans weren't booing him because of that. But either way, you're not going to make sense of it to me on why you would boo PK Subban, a player who played such a critical role in getting the Predators to the Stanley Cup in 2017. He immediately embraced the city when he came here in that huge trade, had so much pressure on him and so many big skates to fill as Shea Weber was traded away for Subban. And I mean, you got to say at this point, the Preds actually won that trade because look where Weber's at now, unfortunately. But either way, most of the time I love the Preds fans, but tonight that certain group of Preds fans who were booing PK Subban got no understanding of that whatsoever.
Somebody said when he got went to New Jersey that he said he was happy because in their arena there's like legitimate banners, and I don't remember that.
I saw the tweet, and I didn't remember that either, but I did see someone share that as well.
That might make people a little angry, but. That's Scott, man. Yeah. I don't know.
Get some thicker skin. I mean, seriously. Yeah. isn't that kind of human nature? I mean, if I got traded to a team that had a bunch of banners for Stanley Cups, I would think that was kind of cool, too. I mean,
yeah. But you know,
I don't see the issue. If that's why you're
testing about that banner stuff, though.
If that's why you're booing PK Subban, I think you need to get thicker skin. That's just me.
Preds fans don't like that banner stuff.
I better hold off my criticism of Preds fans because I might get booed the next time I'm in Bridgestone Arena for all I know.
You never know. Mike Twitter said, I'm thankful that losing some of the big guys like Pekka, Yarnkark, Arvey, and Ellis, Preds are still playing competitive. And, of course, Duchene and Johansson production, which we're talking about. Yeah. Like we've said before, Mike, with losing all those guys at the beginning of the season, we are both of us are pleasantly surprised at how well they're playing. Like, I did not have them pegged to be third place in the division at this point.
There was so much roster turnover that I thought, and also how tough the schedule looked to open the season, which it's already been illustrated how difficult their schedule has been to open the season. I thought for sure going into the first game of the season that the Preds were going to take some time to get going and that they were probably going to stumble out of the gate. But I've been proven wrong, and it's been really refreshing to see. I got another one that I'm really thankful for. Head coach John Hines has made the right decisions with getting his younger players playing as much as possible.
That is a good
one. For the most part. Yeah. I know he has made a couple lineup decisions where people were really upset, but for the most part, yeah, he has let Tommy Novak really get his feet under him. He's let Philip Tomasino really play all this action. He's kept Yakov Trenin in there. He's kept all these younger players. Alex Carrier, he made the right decision with him. I'm really thankful that Hines has really stuck with letting all these younger players get all this growth. And guess what? The team is also winning. So it's a win-win situation. Not only is the team winning and they're competitive and they're in third place in the division, but you are still at the same time getting all this youth development right now.
Yep. I agree with that. I do wonder, though, and this might be a good question for you. So I know everybody wants to see Tomasino play in top 6 minutes. Do you see that as – is that where he needs to be, or does he need to make the most of where he's at in the lineup and then, like, maybe, like, work with that and work with building some chemistry with, like, Novak or whatever?
I would like to keep him where he's at right now, just for now, because I just think the Preds are doing – why mess with something right now that seems to be working? Yeah. I know they had that really ugly loss to Vegas, and I know they've had a couple really bad losses. But for the most part, they're outperforming their season expectations so far, their preseason expectations. And so why mess with that by forcing Tomasino into a role that he might not be ready for? I tend to just be a little bit more conservative in my approach to this right now. And let Tomasino continue to grow at more and more as the season goes. And then eventually maybe you're like, okay, Tomasino is really, he's kicking ass right now. We got to get him more minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Work. Yeah. That's what I think. Just kind of like work with the minutes you have and just make the most of that time. And like, you don't need to be rushing, you know, for the pressure of being on top line. That's just my opinion. Thankful that Ritter has started strong with the Preds. Yeah. Probably get to see him tomorrow.
Yeah.
I would say more than likely.
Mr. Big Dave Save, welcome to another Pred start. You get to go up against the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah. And then she also said she's thankful for Tanner Janot. Yeah, we're all thankful for him. Definitely. Definitely. He's a,
do you have another one, Ridge?
I do. I'm thankful that UC Saros is getting off to a good start. He's struggled a little bit here lately. But if you talk about that Vegas, a lot of that wasn't his fault. But
that's true. But we also seem to always say that about Saros, and eventually you do got to start.
We do. Yeah.
But yeah. I was ready to make a whole segment out of it tonight. Is it time to worry about Saros? Yeah, yeah. I pulled back the reins because he did have a big response tonight against the Devils. His shutout was definitely spoiled.
I think he got rattled. The Canadiens game definitely rattled him. And then they came back and had a good showing against Anaheim. But then against Vegas, they weren't his fault. But like you said, he still needs to make.
If you want to consider UC Saros as a top elite goaltender, then he's going to have to make the really tough saves, even when the team in front of him is not at their best. That's what sets apart the elite goaltenders from the next tier down. So that's all I'm saying about Saros.
Yep. You're right. I agree with that. But still, he is off to a really good start, I feel, and a lot of room to room to grow.
All he needs to do is go ahead and give us one of those 10 or 15 game stretches where he's unstoppable like he did last season. And then we'll be in good shape. Yep. All right, I got one more here to wrap up episode 83. We are listing off the things we are most thankful for after the first 20 games of the Pred season. Mine is honestly, this is super obvious, but neither one of us has said it yet, and I haven't seen it in the comments yet. I am incredibly thankful that Philip Forsberg's injury did not linger further into the season.
I agree. That's a good one. You're right.
As recent as last week, I was starting to get paranoid that this injury was going to somehow linger and linger and linger, and that the trade deadline was going to get closer and closer, and maybe the team was going to start struggling really badly without him. And then the next thing you know, the Preds are like, it's time to cut bait. Let's trade Forsberg away. And he's back. And not only is he back, but he's already making a huge impact. He had 2 goals in his first game back, and then he had an assist tonight. So really, really big stuff. And I cannot say enough how thankful I am that that injury did not linger further into the season.
I agree. That's definitely a good one.
I mean, look at this. Forsberg is still 5th on the team in points despite missing all that time. Now he's got 10 points now.
Yeah.
10 points in 11 games. He's still a point per game player. So
yeah, that's good. Was he got like 5 goals?
He's got 6 goals now, I believe.
6 goals.
Yeah, 6 goals. 6 goals and 4 assists. So big stuff from him. And that mustache is looking better than ever too from him.
Yeah, I mean,
it's exquisite.
It is. That's a good way to put it.
I think that's the perfect word to use.
Glorious. For that. It's a glorious. Mustache. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Any other things you're thankful for, Rich? Other than the obvious, which is of course our listeners.
Yes, that is a good point. I am thankful that people listen to. I mean, you obviously and me especially, like, listen to us sit here and talk about hockey. It's just amazing that people will listen to what we have to say. It feels really good. I'm thankful to be able to do this. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it still kind of boggles my mind that so many people really give a crap what me and Rich have to say about hockey. But it really does make us feel special. It does make us feel really good. And we can't thank all of our listeners enough. And not trying to sound corny at all, but all day yesterday on Thanksgiving, you do want to think about the things you're thankful for. And I am super, super blessed to do this podcast with you, Rich, and to have all these awesome listeners like Lindsay, who's commenting tonight, Mike Twitter. There's tons of other listeners we interact with on social media. Yep. Yeah, we can go on and on. They're just an awesome little family we've built here as we all watch the Preds. And I'm telling you, if the Preds go on another run like they did in 2017, this whole group is going to have a blast talking about it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you.
The group chat also makes me sound really popular when I'm in public because my phone goes off like crazy.
No, I know.
And everyone around me thinks, man, someone's really blowing up your phone. You're popular.
You're like, yeah. Yeah. Sure. Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. And I feel the same way. It's awesome. Not to get corny. Yes. But
We're getting totally corny here to wrap up episode 83. All right. So next week, next Monday, we are going to start doing our quarterly report cards for the team.
Oh, boy.
We're going to go through. We'll probably do the top 2 lines, maybe the top 3 lines, and then we'll work our way into the next episode. We'll also let Kyle Perkins get in on that action and give us some of his player grades. And, of course, he'll do another edition of Perks Picks. So we will be back Monday for episode 84, the Tanner Janot episode,
Go. One more thing, though. We're also going to do the drawing for the Colton Sissons puck.
Yes, we're extending the giveaway through the weekend. So we're still looking for more YouTube subscribers. And then we're going to do a random drawing to see who wins the signed holiday. It's like a holiday themed puck, correct?
It is. Yep. I got it last year, I believe. Colton Sissons. It was a mystery holiday puck.
So, and I mean, what can you say about Colton Sissons? Classic Pred that's been here for a long time. He is that would be a really cool thing to add to your Preds collection. And then also a $25 gift card to Nashville Locker Room, which is the kind of the official merchandise team merchandise store. They have tons of good stuff. So $25 gift card, you can put that towards a new jersey. You can get a new hat. Whatever you want to use that gift card for at Nashville Locker Room. So we will announce that winner on Monday with a random live draw. So if you're watching on YouTube right now and you haven't subscribed yet, now's your chance to get in on that. Also, you can give us a follow on social media. Get in contact with us. Let us know that you subscribe so we can add you into the drawing.
Absolutely.
So with that said, this has been episode 83 of Catfish on Ice. Predators get a big responsive win here to beat the New Jersey Devils. And it was awesome to see that. They got to get ready for the Avalanche tomorrow night. We will react to the Avalanche game on Monday in episode 84. Until then, we hope everyone has an awesome weekend. And we will see you next week for a brand new episode.